my dad, Pastor Salem, loved to preach on the beautiful name of Jesus. He walked closely with Jesus for 90 years. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this month's series of four sermons on the songs of Christmas. My dad was thrilled to have his book, Jesus, published. Inside are 16 of his sermons where you can discover who Jesus was, what he taught, how he lived, and the sacrifice he became. My dad wanted everyone to know Jesus and love him. For more information on how to receive a copy of this book, visit our website at cwh.org or call our office to order your copy. Today's message is titled, The Song of Mary, where Mary makes known the greatness of God, His holiness, mercy, might, and faithfulness. We hope you will be uplifted by today's program. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And are we ever happy today because we're in December and we're going to be celebrating Christmas. And of all of the holidays in the Christian year, Christmas is my favorite. I love the Easter Sunday and the resurrection, but all the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. I have so many memories and so many hymns. And so this month, we're going to be thinking about Christmas, and we're going to have the four songs of Christmas, and I'll give them when we get to the sermon part. We'll list them. So we want to welcome you all. We're so glad you could be with us, and we're looking at Psalm 67 in the opening verses. God be merciful to us and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth and thy saving health among the nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. And dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice as we come to worship you today because all the emphasis, as you has been, always is on Jesus. But especially we think about when he came, was born of the Virgin, and came to redeem us from our sins. And so we just pray that you'll bless us in this service. We'll honor the Lord Jesus. And when we teach about him and tell about him, may there be multitudes who will open their heart, and may he be born in their heart, even in this very service. And we'll give you all the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Melissa has a song, a beautiful song. Mary, did you know? And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, then you kissed the face of God. Did you know the blind will see, the deaf? your baby boy would one day rule the nation. Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child that you're holding is the
great. And God bless you. And that's the miracle of Christmas, that that little baby was born, grew to manhood, and went to the cross. God, man, in one body, one person. There's never been one like that, and there never will be another one. Pure God and man in human flesh, going to the cross to pay for our sins. Oh, it's wonderful, and we just thank the Lord and just love him so much and thank him for coming. Well, we want to read some letters. We get people and they say, I think that some of you folks want the letters more than the sermon, but I'm not going to even take a vote on that. We're just going to keep it the way it is. I'm going to share some of the letters and then I'm going to preach away. But there's so many nice things, and I just want to share some of them. The first letter I have today is from Cedar, Minnesota. And they write, thank you for your very wonderful services. I'm soon to be 88 years old and don't get out much anymore. So you are my church. Thank you for your Jesus-inspiring services. They are food for my soul. May you preach for many more years. I'm listening. God bless you all. A widow of 25 years. Much love in Jesus' name. And we get letters all of the time. And now with being in the winter, we get more than ever because a lot of folks just can't get out. And so that we are their church to worship with them. And we are mindful of you all the time. We pray for you folks. And we pray that as we have our services, we have a regular worship service here in the studio. And then we share it with all of the world. And we just pray that God will bless you and we can minister to you. And I know that if you listen to this service, you'll get blessed because we're using the Bible, the Word of God. And that's where the power is and that's where the blessing is, the wonderful, precious Word of God. And we share that liberally on the Christian Worship Hour. Here is Minot, North Dakota. First, we want to tell you how much my 89-year-old father and I enjoy listening to your program every Sunday. My dad wanted me to send you this extra donation in memory of my deceased nephew-in-law, Mike. He died several years ago from suicide. Thank you again so much for your wonderful program and sharing God's message all over the world. It brings great joy and peace to our home. And I just thought, that isn't that beautiful? He says, they write and say, it brings us great joy and peace. And I'll tell you why it does. Because we're preaching the Bible. And the only basis for real joy and peace is God and his word. And when you read the word of God, you can count on what he says. You can depend on what he says. And he will give us a joy. Now, maybe you're on a bit of sickness today. Maybe you have a lot of problems. Maybe you have trials. Maybe you are addicted to something and you're not very happy. But when you have Jesus, even in the middle of the storm, you can have a joy and a peace that you're right with God. And you get that through accepting Jesus. And you say, well, how do you accept Jesus? It is so simple that a child can do it. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. And what you do and what I did is I just tell, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can and then thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. And if you do that, I'm not guaranteeing that your circumstances will change, but you'll have peace and you'll have joy. Let's see, Des Moines, Washington. I'm a 95-year-old widow who is unable to attend church anymore because I cannot get around without a walker, and I do not hear the sermon in church, but I can turn up the TV and do appreciate your message on Sundays. And I just thought, well, he's 95. That's my age. And so that's a good age, boy. That's an exciting age. And there's none like it. And not many people get there. So we just rejoice in that, in the Lord's giving us all these years. But I'm interested here because she says she turns up her TV and then she can hear. And it reminds me, I don't know, a couple of years ago or so, one of our listeners wrote in and said, I live in a tenement house, an apartment house. And so I open the door and I turn my TV as loud as it'll go so everybody will hear the sermon. And every week I look to see if he has a change of address because I don't know how that's going to go over. But he's doing his missionary work, opening the door and turn up the TV and let her rip. And so if they hear the word, you never know what the Holy Spirit will do. Might just take it and bring people to Christ. You never know. Let's see, Fort Myers, Florida. When I watch you on TV, it's like being in school. God bless you. And that's right, because when we get the Word of God, when we preach the Bible, we always learn. You know, you can have a verse of Scripture. I've been preaching for 72 years now, over 72 years. And people say, well, boy, I'd think you should be able to do better than that after 72 years. I said, you should have heard me when I started. I made a lot of progress. But I just think back over those years. And when you just think about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're educated every time you read it. I think over those years, preaching on a certain text, and you'll preach on it the next time you preach on it, a whole different message. Times have changed. The culture's changed for the worse. And it's always, it's the living word of the living God. It isn't ancient literature, it's the living word. And so there's power in the word, and it's always a time of learning. Here's a letter from Texas, Weatherford, Texas. And they write, excuse me, when you read the viewers' letters, some starving for Christ and some believing in Christ, it lets us, your TV and radio audience, know there are many believers around America and the world. Your preaching and the letters are connecting Christians from many different places. In these dark and evil times, we believers in Jesus need to know our small sections are not alone. Please continue to read those letters. We need and must support each other, a sister in Christ. And I didn't think of it that way. But when I read these letters, it's like all of us all over the world and we're visiting. And we're telling about how we are on this day and what's happening here and what happened there. And then we can pray for each other and we know what other people are doing. We get some of the requests and we know what they're to pray for. And it just ties us all together, ties the body of Christ together. And that's what we do when we have the Christian worship hour. We all gather around the world from all over the world and we gather at the feet of Jesus and we're all drawn together at one focal point, worshiping the wonderful, beautiful Jesus, the Jesus who came at Christmas. Here's Saskatchewan, Canada. And this is a lady writing, a young lady, and she said, after hitting rock bottom, I have become a born-again Christian after watching a taping of your show two Saturdays ago, and after hearing that God can forgive all our sins, makes me feel like it is never too late to start serving God. Thank you for the information and for spreading the good word and the love of Christ. God bless you. And that's why I love to preach. I love to preach because there's always hope. There's no one that's hopeless until after death. Then it's all done. Then I can't help you. Nobody. After death, the judgment, it's all settled. But I love to preach because I don't care what your sins are and I don't care how bad they've been. And a lot of times people say, I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. I sinned against light and God won't forgive that. Oh, yes, he will. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they be like just like wool. And my dad always had sheep. We had a lot of sheep. And the sheep shearing time, those sheep come in, and their wool is all dark, and it's all dusty, and it's kind of dirty. And then they shear that wool off, and right next to the skin, that wool comes off, and it's just glistening, beautiful white. And that's what he's telling us, just like the white snow. It just covers our sins, but with Jesus, it washes them away, takes them away. Oh, what a wonderful message. What a wonderful gospel. Here's a letter from South Dakota, good old South Dakota in Sioux Falls. I thank the Lord I have no aches and pains, but I do misplace things. Now listen to what she says. This is the reason I put it in here. She says, I thank the Lord I have no aches and pains, but I do misplace things. Then she says, the Lord gives me exercise looking for things. Now, isn't that making lemonade out of a lemon? And that's what Christians ought to do. Don't be a gloomy Gus. Some of you look like you've been baptized in dill pickle juice. Just be rejoicing. And here she lays something aside. She's looking for it. She's thanking. She's taking exercises. That's a beautiful, beautiful letter. One more letter I got to share with you. And that is from Council Bluffs, Iowa. God bless you all for what you're doing to spread God's word all over the world. Thank you for telling me how to get Jesus to come to me. He is now in my life forever. God is smiling down on you all. Isn't that beautiful? This is a man. He's a young man. We got a letter from him. And he's heard about Jesus and bringing Jesus to him. And that's what we're doing. We're bringing the gospel message to him. And he heard it and he opened his heart. And he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's born again. And we send him literature. If you've received the Lord Jesus and you write to us, we'll send you literature and get yourself started in the Christian life. And I'll tell you what you do. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so you can write to us and send us a letter. When if you've accepted the Lord, we'll send you literature. Also, if you want to help us in the work, and we need your financial help, we need your prayers, and we need your gifts, because the Lord knows our team, we don't have enough money to pay for spreading the gospel all over the world. It costs a ton of money, thousands and thousands of dollars. And so but James says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have a need, well, then they won't send anything. They think you're all right. You're underwritten by a corporation or something. We're not underwritten by anybody but God's people. And so you make a prayer and say, dear Lord, should I support this ministry? Is this something that I should be helping? And then, and if the Lord says yes, maybe he won't. Maybe he'll say no, give it to somebody else. There are other good ministries that God has on television and churches. But if he says yes, then you say, now, what should I give him, Lord? And then he'll tell you. You just know. You'll just feel it. And if you don't even want to write a letter, here's what you can do. You can send a gift on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And you look on there and it says donations, and it'll pay PayPal. And then you pay, and we'll be your pal. And if you don't pay, we'll still be your pal because we're good fellows, and we love each other no matter what. Now, I want to tell you another thing we have, and it's called The New Song. And that's a little Bible study we put out every month. This month, we're talking about the gifts from God, thanking God for his gifts. It's Christmas time. We have the gift of God as eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so it's a nice little Bible study for you. We also have excerpts from letters so that we get a lot of excerpts, and I know you enjoy that. And then we'll have the sermon topics, and we'll have the text. It is wonderful, little paper. And I tell you, we really ought to charge for it, but we don't. We're awful nice people here, big-hearted, you know, and we're big-hearted until we go broke. But that's what we do. You write to us. The address is on the screen there. We'll send you the little paper. And when you send your gift, I want to tell you something. You don't know how we're going to use it. There's no way for you to know, but there's an organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they know how we spend it because they audit our books. They're an international organization. And they'll check every minute, every penny we get, we have to write a receipt. And we have to keep a record of it. And it shows not only how much we get, but how do we spend it? Do we use it with spreading the gospel? And so you don't need to worry. If you want to get on the internet and look at it, just look at ECFA, and you can read the whole story of this organization. So we just thank you for your help. And for over almost 40 years now, God's been helping us through his people. So I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you just do what the Lord tells you to do. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all these gifts from your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Luke, excuse me, Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 46. And we're going to be looking at Mary's song. Mary has announced, the angels told her that she's going to be pregnant and have this child. And she sings a song, and we're going to look at that. And she's gone, the angel Gabriel has told her, made the announcement. And so she goes to the hill country and near thereby and stays and visits with her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is pregnant because she carries the gospel, John the Baptist. And next week we're going to talk about Elizabeth and Zechariah and Zechariah's song about the birth of John the Baptist. And so then she has... She meets with Mary. Mary meets with Elizabeth. And then Mary sings this song. This is what she says, beginning with verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth," excuse me, "from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, and hath scattered the proud to the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spake to his fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." In our prayer this morning, we always think of the persecuted church, and we're going to include the persecuted church in Morocco. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful song that Mary sang, and all the wonderful things she's teaching us and showing us in that young lady, maybe a teenager. She sang this song to the praise and the honor of God, and it blesses us and helps us to this day. We just thank you that your son came and that he came to be our Savior and has changed our life and has changed eternity for us because we put our faith in him. Dear Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Morocco today. We know that some of them are giving their lives. Many of them are dying because they refuse to reject you. They refuse to denounce you. They will not give up their faith. They will not take on another faith. They will, even though it costs them their lives and suffering, they stand true to you. And so we pray for them. We pray for the homes that are scattered abroad, about, Lord, because maybe the father's put to death, maybe the mother, and who knows where everybody is. and even the little children losing their parents. And so I know, Lord, we all know that you're with them and that you'll never leave them or forsake them. And help them to know that they are an encouragement to us. And help them to know that we'll do, if we're called to die for you, we'll try our very best to do that. I don't know if I could or not, but I hope I would. And so we just thank you that we can support our brothers and sisters. Someday we'll see them in heaven, talk to them about all these things. Now I ask your blessing in this service today, in Jesus' name, amen. And Barb is going to sing a song. It's entitled Between 12 and 33. And so God bless you, Barb.
You can read about his virgin birth, that holy night when he came down to earth. And the Bible says that he grew up in the town of Nazareth, the only childhood story about him was in the temple in Jerusalem. A boy became a man of destiny between 12 and 33. 3 years he made history, became the Savior he was meant to be, between 12 and 33. There's nothing written about his formative years, for a while it's like he just disappeared. And the Bible says that he grew wise and found favor in God's eyes. When he got older and the time had come, he started proving to the world who he was. Each step he took led straight to Calvary, between 12 and 33. 18 years are a mystery. His last 3 years he made history.
Well, thank you, Barb, and that's the life of the Lord Jesus, and we hear about him when he was 12 years old, went to the temple, and then not anything is told until he comes on the scene and with John the Baptist baptized and begins his ministry. And so we're going to be thinking about Christmas, and that we're going to have the four songs of Christmas. And today we're going to be thinking about the Song of Mary. And then next week we're going to think about the Song of Zechariah, Elizabeth and Zechariah, the birth of John the Baptist. And then we're going to think about, of course, the Song of the Angels. And then finally, the Song of Simeon, old Simeon. And so just pray for during Christmas season that we'll just honor the Lord Jesus and lift him high, and that the whole world will see him not as a little baby, that he was that for just only once in eternity. He'll never be a baby again, and he'll never die again. Once a baby, once he died, raised from the dead, and now he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're going to see him, and we're going to reign with him. Oh, won't that be great? Well, in this story, Mary has an announcement by Angel Gabriel, and he tells her she's going to give birth to the Messiah. It's recorded in Luke 1, verse 26 to 33. And we read, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in his mind, and her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That was a tremendous announcement, because it was announcing the coming of the Messiah. Now, the people looked for the Messiah for generations, and now after all of this time and after all of this looking, now he is at hand. Now the time has come, and Mary is with the chosen vessel that God has picked her through which to send his son. Mary must have been filled with amazement and with joy and questions. For one thing, how could she explain her pregnancy? She was physically pure. She had not known a man. She was a virgin, and yet she was pregnant. And so how on earth would she explain that to the town gossips? Then they would be there, I'm going to tell you. The gossips are always there. They're just like the vultures waiting around. And as long as there's vultures, there'll be gossips. And she would certainly be the subject of every gossip in town. Mary, this teenager, is pregnant and she isn't married. And that is why it's so wicked for us to gossip, is because the gossiper never knows what the real score is. They never know the real situation. He doesn't know and he never will. And I sometimes use it as men. Men can gossip just as well as women. Always hanging on the women, but the men can do it too. And so here, life is so complex. You can't know all the facts. Only God can know the heart. Only God can know everything in there is. And so in Mary's case, the gossips would call her unfaithful, but the gossips didn't have any idea what was going on, but they gossiped and they talked. And that's why we need to leave all the judging of the Lord to Jesus Christ. It's not for us to judge each other, but because there is one judge. John 5:22 says, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto his Son. So lay off and don't set there, just forget about it. So the scriptures tell us, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And Mary hurriedly goes to visit Elizabeth to get away from the gossips, I suppose, for one thing, and also to verify the sign given to her by Gabriel. So she went to Joseph's home, a city in the hill country. And we don't know the name of the city, but the word hill country was given to us by Josephus and Pliny, ancient writers and scholars, and they call that area the hill country. That means that the trip from Nazareth to the city of vicinity might have been up to 80 miles. It would be a long trip for a teenager who's pregnant, but Mary went, and she wanted to be and see and be with this Elizabeth and talk to her. At the sound of Mary's voice, the unborn child moves in Elizabeth's womb. And the verb here, there's a verb used, it's called leaped. And this signifies a movement motivated by joy. The point of it is the superiority of Mary's child over Elizabeth's child. Because Mary's child is the Son of God. Elizabeth's child is John the Baptist. And all, even before they are born, John the Baptist recognizes the presence of Jesus Christ. So they are born, before they are born, they are a person. They have these people aborting people, the babies, and they say they're not alive until they leave the hospital. If you can imagine such a crazy thing, or until they are born, they're alive the moment they're conceived at conception. And when you take that life, you commit murder. And if you had an abortion, I want to tell you something. It's a terrible sin, but God will forgive you if you go to Him and confess your sins and tell Him and forgive you, ask for forgiveness. He will forgive you. That's the grace of God and the mercy of God. And you ought to do that if you had an abortion. But so Elizabeth says, and why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In other words, how could this happen to one so unworthy? Elizabeth say, the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Messiah, would you pick me to come to me? And it's also interesting to notice the unborn John in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy because he was in the presence of Jesus. Notice also when Elizabeth said to Mary, listen to her words, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? It was at this point that Mary breaks out for the first time and sings this song, because Elizabeth's words confirmed the fact that of Mary's physical purity. It confirmed what Gabriel had told her. Elizabeth is assuring Mary that it is inspiring. Yes, Mary, this is the Messiah. You are chosen among all women that God will send His Son through you. And so Mary sings. And she sings about the greatness of God. Mary does in her song, tells of how great God is. She sings, if you study this song that she gave, you'll see that Mary had a great knowledge of the scriptures because she quotes the scriptures all the time. You'll see many expressions that Mary gives that comes from the book of the Psalms. You'll readily see a parallel with the song of Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. She breaks out in song because she knows the language of the scriptures. She's a young lady who is not only pure and clean, but she's a young lady that God is revealing to her, and she's going to bring forth through her body the Son of God. She sings this song, and it sets forth four things. She talks about first of all, for God's holiness. She talks about God's mercy. Then she talks about God's might, and then talks about God's faithfulness. So first of all, let's look at these. In chapter 1, verses 46 to 48, this is in the Gospel of Luke. I know some of you have your Bibles, and you can follow along. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 48. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. She begins, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my soul spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Notice this. She talks about her soul, and she talks about a spirit, her spirit. Her soul and her spirit. We all have a soul and a spirit, and they are not the same thing. They are separate. My soul in the Greek is psuche. My spirit in the Greek is pneuma. And they are different matters. They are different parts of the being. With her whole being, then, she's saying, with my spirit, with my soul, with all that I have, my personality, she rejoices that she's going to be the one to give birth to the Lord. She gives thanks. She says her soul magnifies the Lord. She says her spirit rejoices in God. She says all generations shall call me blessed. Great things have been done for her. And so we too need to cultivate this thankful spirit. The great saints of all the ages have been thankful people. And she's celebrating what God has done, not anything that she has done. It's all God. It's not just that God was the one who chose her and God was brought it to pass and she is only that vessel. And that's all of us are. All we are is a vessel, and God works through us by His Spirit and His Word if we will surrender to Him and be open to Him and carry on for Him. And so then Mary goes back and she talks about Abraham. She tells about what God has done in past ages, how God has been faithful since Abraham's day. Or she puts it this way, from generation to generation in the history of the Hebrew people, Mary saw God at work from the very beginning, working through Abraham and working through the people of Israel, the Jewish nation, recognizing that. She sees as God at work in the ages to come, because she says, henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. But for all of that, all of those blessings, Mary was a humble soul. Here she is, of all the women of Israel for all ages, she alone was chosen to be bring the Messiah. But in spite of this wonderful honor given to her by God, she talks about her of low estate. She speaks of her of low estate. She talks about the Messiah as her Savior. I rejoice in God, my Savior. This Jesus Christ is Mary's Savior, is what she's saying. She makes no claims for herself. She only worships God. So we need to learn some humility from Mary. We ought not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We ought to think of ourselves not better than others. An old divine said it this way, a man has just so much Christianity as he has humility. An old Bishop Ryle of London said, all are not rich, all are not learned, all are not highly gifted, all are not preachers, but all children of God may be clothed with humility. And we learn that from Mary. So Mary looks to God as her Savior. She knew that the Messiah to come was the one that's to bear would be the one who would take away all the sins of the people that would call on His name. She looks to Him as that wonderful Messiah who's coming to save you. Listen to the angels as they sing. They're going to sing. And the angels said unto them, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Remember the prophecy in the Old Testament. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. Mary goes on to give the reason for her rejoicing spirit. She says in verses 48 and 49, for He hath looked upon the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And so she sings of the holiness of God. And then Mary sings about God's mercy. She writes, says in verses 49 and 50 in that first chapter of Luke, His mercy is on those who fear Him. Mary may have quoted Proverbs 9, verse 10, where we are told, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we don't want to misinterpret this word fear. It doesn't mean that we're afraid of Jesus or afraid of God the Father. It means that we reverence and we respect the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are not afraid to come to God because He's our Father and He loves us and He knows that we're in the flesh and He's mindful that we are all weak, and though the Spirit is willing, the flesh many times is weak and it fails us. The Heavenly Father loves us and He cares for us. And when I need a hiding place or a place to go, I go to the Father. And the first thing I do, I'm not afraid to go to Him because He's my Father. And He loves me. He will never leave me or forsake me. He never turns His back on me, but He just blesses and helps. And by the same token, I fear to take His name in vain. I fear when I disobey Him and ask Him for forgiveness. And so this Lord Jesus tells us, this Heavenly Father, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's not just once or twice or 100 times or 1,000 times. My words, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins. And we may fail him 100 times over, but we go back in repentance and turn from our ways and endeavor to serve him. I think if we get letters from these people who are addicted to something, could be alcohol, drugs, could be gambling, could be anything. And they're addicted to it and they're trying to break it. And I always tell them, you just make every effort you can and you trust in Jesus and you lean on Jesus and he'll give you strength you never had before. But never give up, never fail. And if you fail 12 times, you go to him for forgiveness and he'll forgive you every time if your heart, if he knows you're trying. What a wonderful Savior. So Mary gives thanks for God's mercy. And that's not all. She says, his mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation. She's looking in the future now. She's been looking back there at Abraham and generations past. And now the present generation, now she's looking at generations to come. And this wonderful, great God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's always forgiveness to God until you die. The moment we die, it's all set. And it's either heaven or hell, or maybe Jesus will return. Time will be no more, and you need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And so after death, it is ceased forever. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. God has the day of your death already set. Before you were born, he had that date of birth and the date of death. He had it all set. And if I die in my sins, there'll be no mercy from me. But for his fiery indignation, if I die in those sins, I'm going to face judgment. And like we're told in Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. So Mary sings of God's mercy, mercy today, mercy for all who will come to him. And anyone who wants to come can come. Just come to Jesus as you are, and he'll find mercy and grace. Then she sings about God's might in verses 51 to 53. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Listen to that. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. This coming child will have the power of God. And this Son of God coming is going to change the social order. This great and wonderful God. For instance, the proud, they exalt themselves, take no account of God. God is going to put them down. God is going to deal with them and beat them by his mighty arm. The powers that be, the oppressors, the Lord, the people that oppress the poor, that have take advantage of the poor and the down and out. Well, God is going to take their side. Remember what Jesus said? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The hungry, those who realize their need to be blessed. And he'll bless us and he'll help us, this wonderful, merciful God, this working, wonderful Messiah. Mary talks about all of this through this inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The psalmist put it this way, when then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad, Psalm 126. And if I didn't know better, I would think that the person that Mary wrote the hymn that we sing, and we sing it every time, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. He so loved thee, the world, that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may come in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, lay the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Give him the glory. Great things he hath done. That's what Mary's singing. This wonderful Mary talking about God's might. And then finally, she talks about God's faithfulness, verses 53 to 55. She says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to his fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Mary sees God helping the hungry with the helpless and the hopeless, and those who are lost in sin, and he cares for them, and he makes salvation possible for them. She sings on and she says, he has helped his servant Israel. And what does St. Matthew tell us? Matthew 1:21, he shall save his people from their sins. And don't forget, it was through God, through Israel, that God sent his son that would save the people from their sins. This was the wonderful gift of God. And it was Mary closes her beautiful song then as she thinks about how great God is, how he cares for his people, how he'll never leave us or forsake us, that you can depend on him. And then she closes and she says, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to Abraham and his seed forever. Don't forget Abraham, how in faith he left his home. He traveled from the Ur of the Chaldees and he went through a foreign country with his family. There were marauding tribes. There were robbers and thieves and everything else. He took his little children and he took his whole family and he struck out into that wilderness going to the promised land. And he did it because he believed God. And that faith of Abraham was counted to him for righteousness. That's why we know he was saved. Because when he believed God, took God at his word, God clothed him with that righteousness. And that's what God does today, right now. If you make that prayer and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins, he will come and he will wash you clean and he'll cover you with his righteousness. And when you stand before the pearly gates, when I stand before the pearly gates, it isn't going to be anything that I have done that gets me into heaven. It's going to be that I am, when they see you, I'm standing there, I'm clothed in that righteousness of Christ. It's just like when Jesus was crucified and he had that gown, that beautiful gown, and it was sewn together without seam, a special way of sewing it. And he wore that, and that was so beautiful that the centurions are wicked, tough men. They said, it's too beautiful to, they were casting lots. They said, let's cast lots for it. We don't want to tear it apart or take it apart. And there was one of those soldiers there who got that gown and he had blood on his hands and he had dirt on his hands and he was filthy and he was, and he put that robe on and he was white and clean. And that's what happens when we come to Jesus. That robe pictures the righteousness of Christ. And that's what Mary's singing. Remember Abraham, he just believed and he was clothed with righteousness. And St. Paul says in Romans 2, him that worketh not, no good works, him that worketh not, but believeth to him, he is given eternal life. I wonder today, dear friends, as we come into the Christmas season, how have you accepted Jesus Christ? You know, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd go? Are you sure you'd go there? You can never know until you have Jesus, and then you can know. John 5:24 tells us, that is, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You don't wait to get it. You don't hope for it. You don't wait to get to heaven's gate. The minute you accept Jesus Christ, you have eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, won't go to hell. But your dress go from death unto life. If you have done that, you write to us. If you've accepted Jesus and made that prayer. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to write to us, if you want to get the literature, we'll be glad to send that. If you want the new song, we'll be glad to send that. If you want to have a little booklet, we have a little booklet, and can a Christian be lost? No, you cannot lose your salvation. And you can write and we'll send you a copy of that. but you need to write and you need to help us financially. So when you write, send us a little gift, whatever you have, whatever God lays on your heart, and we'll receive it and we'll rejoice in it. The Christian Worship Hour, those of you on shortwave, you don't get it. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. And I just pray that you'll be with all of those who are lonely, those who are shut-ins, those who are having a hard time in life. Maybe it's some young person caught up in some trap, some addiction. Oh God, help them to turn to you, and you'll give them strength that they never had. Just turn to you. Just make the prayer of the penitent. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake, and he'll save you. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless all and that you'll help us and bring us together next Lord's Day, next weekend, that together we may worship you around the throne of grace. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, next week, we're going to be thinking about Zechariah. And it's a wonderful story, Elizabeth and Zechariah and the coming of John the Baptist. And so tell your friends, tell them to watch the Christian Worship Hour and join us and pray for us and send us a gift if you can. But most of all, just pray. And if you pray, we'll have everything we need. So we're just praying God to bless you. Pray you'll have a good week. Pray you'll know that Jesus is with you. If you trust him, he's there whether you feel it or not. And next week, same time, Christian Worship Hour. God bless you all.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.